The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
People start going back to work, particularly in Dublin city centre. Are they going to see a different road network which gives greater priority to cyclists and pedestrians at the expense of cars? Conor Faulkland, Director of Consumer Affairs with AIA Ireland. Good to speak to you. I haven't spoken to you in a while. What's your understanding of what Dublin City Council and others have in plan?
Well, I think they're having to be pragmatic, Matt. We know that traffic volumes are on their way back. In fact, we've seen traffic volumes increase by about 30% just this week, post the first easing of restrictions on the 18th. Clearly, there's going to be another phase change on the 8th of June, and we'll see more traffic back again. So the problem is we can't push the returning workers onto public transport in a socially distanced manner. And for that reason, a lot of people are taking to private cars. And we know even in ordinary times in Dublin, that just doesn't work. You cannot get that quart into that pint mug. So the bright side, if there is one, is that the COVID phenomenon seems to be giving a big boost to cycling. So the City Council in Dublin are looking to essentially swap over road space that was previously occupied by public transport, which doesn't have the capacity to serve, or by cars, and give it to bikes. It's a sort of a strange argument, Matt, because in ordinary times, the AA regularly makes the point that you've got to provide public transport alternatives, or you're really not addressing the strategic heart of the problem. I think in this COVID period, this sort of wonky, dysfunctional period where we're all having to improvise and compromise, I think what they're doing is probably sensible. I'm not sure it adds much when you look at the long-term strategic future of our cities, but I think as an interim measure, no more than, you know, vast swathes of people working from home, it's one of the things that we have to do or we simply won't be able to manage.
It's going to be a tricky thing to do, though, at speed, to come up with a plan to give certain roads priority now to cyclists, others to keep the cars going, and also to take into account the various car parking spaces that are available if, as you say, a lot of people decide not to cycle or walk and use their own private car.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people will, for fear of contracting COVID on public transport, and also because public transport is congested. It's going to take some creativity. So, for example, we might have to look at things like park and walk. You may have individuals who, you know, want to work in the city centre, can't drive all the way there, but maybe could drive to some point where parking could be provided so they could walk the last kilometre or something of that sort. It will take a little bit of creativity. We're certainly going to have to climb out of our bunkers. There's really no point cyclists arguing with motorists and motorists arguing with buses, because we're in a situation where we literally have to improvise. You know, normal service is not going to cut it. We're going to have to do temporary things and ad hoc things to make the best of what is a pretty bad job. But in context, Matt, on an ordinary day in Dublin, public transport just about has the capacity to carry half of the commuters. And that's when every public transport asset is completely stuffed full. If public transport can only deliver about 20% of its normal capacity, then, you know, evidently something else has to change, or we simply won't be able to manage. People will be physically blocked and physically unable to get into their newly reopened workspaces.
Kevin Baker is with us as well, chair of the Dublin Cycling Campaign. Kevin, I imagine there's quite a few people listening who are giving serious consideration to either getting on their bike or getting a new bike to do this, but they will have one major concern. Is it going to be safe for them on the roads of our capital city?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we need to recognise that the way we need to travel around our city is going to have to fundamentally change. One of them is the lack of capacity in public transport, but the other is the city council has changed the traffic lights in the city centre in order to give more space and more time to pedestrians. And they're doing this to stop people from bunching up at traffic lights, which makes social distancing very difficult. There isn't the capacity on the roads for the same number of cars we had before. And so there's not capacity on public transport. There's not capacity for cars. We have to get people walking and cycling. We're already seeing a huge increase in the number of people cycling. Bike shops across the city are very quickly selling out of particular types of bikes, particularly e-assist bicycles and women's bikes. So if you are thinking about making the switch, go talk to your local bike shop sooner rather than later.
But what about the safety issue? Do you think, will it be safe for people? Will there still be the issues of shared space for cyclists with cars and still some public transport, and also with things like trucks making deliveries?
Yep. So this is where the City Council's measures come into place. And what they're proposing is to create a load of quick, temporary pop-up cycle lanes. And it's what's happening across many cities across Europe. Paris is talking about doing 650 kilometers of these kind of cycleways. And they're effectively, you take some part of the existing road space, either maybe on-street car parking or a traffic lane, or in some places a bus lane. You paint it as a bicycle lane, and you install plastic bollards or plastic wands along the edge of it to provide better safety to the people who are cycling. And we're hoping that this will make a much safer environment for the estimated 26,000 new people who will start cycling in the city as the months progress.
26,000 new, to bring it. How many people do you think will be cycling in Dublin city centre on any given day in the future?
So the council's predicting up to 40,000. So it's a tripling of the number of people cycling in the city centre. That is what they say we need to do if we are going to keep people moving. If not, we're going to end up with massive gridlock, massive congestion, which is going to hurt the economic recovery, and it's going to lead to massive amounts of air pollution in the city centre. All the international evidence is showing that where air pollution is worse, we are seeing worse outcomes for people who are infected with COVID-19. We can't have a return to air pollution in the city centre like we had before. We need to get people walking and cycling, and that's why the council is talking about expanding footpaths, building these new cycleways, because it's absolutely what people need to get to work or to get around the city.
What do you think, Conor Faulkner, of the safety issue if you have that many extra cyclists sharing space with cars, trucks and the buses, and indeed Lewis?
Well, paradoxically, Matt, I think it might actually make it safer. If you have a large volume of cyclists, they tend to be less exposed and less vulnerable than a smaller number that are strung out. If you look at how cyclists are actually injured in our towns and cities, it tends not to be cars, funnily enough. I mean, I've said this shouldn't be a partisan conversation, but it tends not to be cars. It tends to be trucks and buses and commercial vehicles, particularly turning left. That's the real sort of danger for cyclists in cities. And I think if we have more cycle lanes, the likelihood is it'll be a little safer. And also, I mean, in a normal commuting day, there's about 12,000 people who cross the canal cordon by bike every day. That has been a growing number. It's stagnated a little bit in the last couple of years, which is a bit of a disappointment, but it has been a growing number. If that number actually does triple, then I think, you know, we'll just become accustomed to seeing a flowing lane of bicycles. And a flowing lane of bicycles, you know, paradoxically, is actually a little safer than intermittent cyclists dotted around here and there. I don't really buy into the air quality argument, certainly not where cars are concerned. And as I say, there's other sort of rather hackneyed debates that have been had on this issue that tend to be adversarial. I think we can literally park all of that and acknowledge that we're in an exceptional circumstance. Long term, when we come back and when COVID is over and we're finished with this awful social distancing phenomenon and we're back to real, genuine, normal life, we will still be back to a city that faces the strategic problem that it doesn't have enough public transport. And that problem won't be solved by these measures. But I do think if it's a one-off shot in the arm for bikes and for e-bikes and for scooters and what you might term light two-wheelers, then look, great. I think that'll be a long-term benefit that we'll get out of this mess. But we needn't pretend that these measures are the ultimate solution to Dublin's traffic problems.
Oh,
because if we don't build public transport, we're never going to get out of the mess.
Well, that assumes that we have a vaccine which will allow people to get on public transport in the future. Kevin, you want to come back to that?
Yeah, these measures will probably need to be in place for 12 to 18 months. Social distancing is with us for at least 12 to 18 months. No expert is predicting a vaccine anytime soon. And so we need to be very pragmatic.
Yeah, Kevin, one last thing I want to ask you about. Where will all the bikes get parked? Because this strikes me is that there are two areas of responsibility. One will be employers, who never seem to be too comfortable with the idea of allowing their staff to bring bikes onto the premises. And if they're not able to do it at work, are there going to be public spaces which are going to be secure from the thievery that goes on a regular basis when it comes to bikes?
Yep. So a lot of the major offices in the city centre do have good bike parking. And if you work in them, you will probably have a good covered, secure bike parking location. It's a little trickier for other people. There are indoor bike parking areas like the Drury Street car park. The ground floor of that has space for a few hundred bicycles, and it's all monitored by CCTV. The council is also talking about trying to roll out hundreds or even thousands of temporary bike parking spots across the city in order to try and help with this surge of people who are cycling in. In order to kind of combat like the thieving, people just need to remember there are some simple things you can do to keep your bike safe. Let's use a good lock, not a padlock, not these kind of combination locks or wire locks. A good D-lock, lock it to a good proper pole, and follow the simple instructions that you can find online.
Yeah, but getting the pole is the difficult thing, because if you try and use a pole that's out on the street, the council will come and remove it, won't they? I mean, they have been removing an awful lot of bikes on the basis that they've been blocking people trying to social distance as pedestrians.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is why the council is talking about trying to roll out thousands of new bike stands across, dedicated bike stands across the city, which is absolutely what we're going to need if we're going to try and facilitate these thousands of new people who are going to take up cycling in the next few weeks.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin Baker from the Dublin Cycling Campaign. Conor Faulkner of AA Ireland. 0874100102 gives you the last word by text or by WhatsApp.
The last word with Matt Cooper. Listen live on air from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.